Broadcasting around the world, this is Reaching Forth Radio, a weekly show produced to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm Dan Klaus, along with Dan Brenneman, and we're coming to you from our New York City studio. I trust that today's show will encourage you as Christ followers to walk with God. It's our desire to put something edifying in your routine as you commute, you go throughout your week, or whatever you do as you're listening in to Reaching Forth Radio. On today's show, we're going to be discussing the question, what is heaven like, as well as talking about the need for missions, be challenged from the Word of God, and just all around being challenged about our walk with the Lord. And so I'm glad that you've chosen to take us with you today. And Dan, how is your week going, my friend?
My week is confusing. It's just different. I wish I had a routine, in a way. I wish I had a routine that was the same thing every day. But you know what? If that would happen, I would be bored.
Yeah.
And so I have to say, then, my life is very exciting because you just never know what's going to happen in a week's time.
Yeah. Different. And, yeah, it's always different, right, for you?
Yeah, and tomorrow, I am going to do something that I have never done before, I think.
Not necessarily tomorrow when you're listening, but
right.
tomorrow
from this recording, I am going to undertake a 5-kilometer run.
Yeah.
And it remains to be seen whether I will actually run.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll discuss this on episode number 6,
right,
and talk about how this works out for you. How are you feeling leading up to this big moment in your life?
You know, I thought that allergy season was over for the year. It really hits me hard in May, but it all of a sudden has hit me again as we're having the fall occur. The leaves are starting to fall already. The acorns are even falling already. They're baby acorns. I think that it falls a little bit premature this year. But anyway, so with that, I have been faced with allergy problems. My back almost went out today as I was taking my 3 kids out to do laundry and then go get groceries at the grocery store and things like that. And that was pretty tough. But, you know, in my mind, I've already won. I've already won this 5K, even though there's not really a first
place. You love the mentality that everyone's a winner.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll have to say this, that at my high school, I was the record holder for our yearly walkathon, marathon.
Yeah.
For the most laps, and I think it was a 40-minute walk around the gym, and you have to go outside the cones
That, too, if you visit Dan's apartment, he has those trophies all over that apartment, hanging on the walls.
Actually,
his plaque. He has a little plaque outside on a sidewalk.
Now that I think about it, I do have a walkathon trophy.
Dan Brenneman.
It's at my mom's house, though.
Hero.
You know, I do.
Yeah.
It has the number of laps and everything.
Yeah,
and
you should put that up.
Until they changed the location and the rules and everything, I tell you what, I walked intensely. It was like the level. If you look at over there at your sound levels, right, as we're doing the recording, if my walking was a sound level, ooh, I was borderline right up there. What do you call it when you go over to
clipping?
Yeah, I was borderline clipping the walk-run barrier, and I solidly walked for the entire time. And had the record. So even if I just walk this 5K, I will have outrun many other competitors.
Yeah, you know what? If this 5K thing isn't for you, I'm sure you could find a mall or somewhere where the Mall Walkers Club. And you could just join that and just dominate it.
You know what's great about
their
mall walkers? Mall walking is great because it's air conditioned.
Yeah.
And there's lots of great, stuff to shop for. I mean, I like going in the Lego store, although that's more for my kids.
Sure.
At the Staten Island Mall, there's a new Invicta store, I understand.
That's
a watch. Okay, that's a watch company, And
sounds like a battle or something.
Well, I guess it kind of does, And JCPenney, I used to work at JCPenney.
There you go.
Get some good deals there. But I'm into bow ties now, so I'm wanting to start my collection of bow ties.
Man, it's a new Dan. I mean, bow ties, 5Ks, walkathons.
Walk the 5K in a bow tie. Who knows?
You should. Although it's a color 5K thing, right?
It is, right. So
it might get a little messy. I'll go get a cheap one. Put it on.
Get a colorful bow tie.
Yeah, that'd be good. You know, this makes me think, Dan, you've been created just for this moment, to run in a 5K. Okay, we'll talk about that next episode and think about that maybe more in depth. You know, this week, Dan, though, I was challenged and just with this thought. And I want to encourage all of our listeners with this thought. We're going to kind of get back to a more serious note for a moment here. That God has created you for a very specific purpose and has placed you right here in this place for a very specific purpose. You think about it. Sometimes we like to live in the past, don't we, Dan? We like to look in the past and say, man, look at what God did back then and think about all the great things, or think about how our nation used to be like this or and that. And sometimes, you know what, it's tempting to look back. But hey, guess what, guys? God has put you in this generation to be salt and to be light for this generation. God didn't make a mistake when he placed you here. The Bible says in Psalms, think of that verse, you know, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. And God has fearfully and wonderfully made you for this time. You know, and Esther, right, talks about for such a time as this, where she was, that God had a very specific plan for her life. And it's really no different for us. God has a specific plan for us. He has a will for us, and he has placed us here. Sometimes I feel like we're the children of Israel there in the book of Exodus, as they're going out of Egypt and they're kind of wandering through the wilderness there, and they're always looking back, saying, look, man, look at what I left behind. Look back there and look how great that was back there. And they're just complaining, and they have failed to see that what future is ahead of them. Mm-hmm. And I'm just excited to think that today, with our generation, with you guys that are listening, man, if you get on fire for God and you get sold out and dedicated to him and surrendered to him, how God could use you in such an awesome way. You know, think about it. God has a very specific purpose in placing you in your family, in placing you in your city, in your country. Really, God has a specific purpose in placing you in the world in 2015, right here, right now. And can I just encourage you, embrace that. Rejoice in that. Get excited about that, that God has you right here, right now, and he wants to use you. He has a plan for your life. He has something exciting for you. And live like that. Hey, don't just live, man, I wish I was back in the day. I wish I lived, you know, 50, 100 years ago. Don't live like that. Live, hey, God has placed me here. God doesn't make a mistake. He's the creator of the universe, and he has a plan for my life. And so, I don't know, Dan, that got me excited just thinking about that this week. And I wanted to challenge you guys real quick. That's not our weekly challenge, but it's okay. It's our weekly rant.
Oh, okay.
We'll call it that. We're going to have a weekly rant.
You know, it is something to, you know, understand the reality of today. And I think there's a lot of things that we get caught up in that makes us forget about the here and now.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll take for example, and this is a personal example, and this is my son's personal example, because we're having to deal with this issue here over the summer. And that is, you take something like video games.
Mm-hmm.
I love video games. I love to play video games. I like certain types of games and so forth. Nothing wrong with video games in of itself. But when you are caught up in that reality of that game, and that's all you think about, that's all you obsess about, then there's a problem there. You got to balance some things out. And it may not be video games. It may be may be fashion. It could be a number of things. Whatever is your
Facebook,
hobby. It could be Facebook. That thing is annoying because it's on my phone, and I pick up my phone, and sometimes I pick up my phone thinking, what did I pick up my phone for? Let me just look at Facebook. And then I scroll, and I scroll, and I scroll, and I begin to wonder, why do I even care about all this stuff I'm reading and looking at? Oh, okay, that's interesting. And that can be so time-consuming when you don't even think about it. So, yeah, people do forget about, and they reminisce, like you said. They look back at the things of yesteryear, the way they should have been, should be now, and where they could have been, and so forth. But, you know, you're right. Look at the here and now and the reality, the present, and because even though God is the God of the past, present, future, he always has been, it is within now that we live and within now that we have a relationship with him. And if we are in the past, well, we're forgetting or forsaking what really God has for us now.
Well, he's called us to be salt and light. You know, I can't be salt and light in the past.
Yeah.
You know, I can only be that right here, right now.
Yeah.
And so that's what we should be living for.
Yeah, he didn't call
us. For his glory.
He didn't call us to be a picture book to look back at memories. He didn't call us to be a crystal ball to look to the future. He called us to be something active, an agent to be used right now.
Yeah. Yeah. So, hey, rejoice in that this week. Reach forward to those things which are ahead. We're going to talk about that a little bit in our question and answer segment. Hey, which speaking of, let's get to that. for this week's weekly question and answer segment. And don't forget, if you have a question for us, we'd love to hear from you. You can reach us by calling 908-291-8336. That's 908-291-TEEN. You can call or text that number. Maybe some of you are like, I don't really want to hear my voice, but hey, you can text us. We'd love to get that message or that question from you. Doesn't even have to be a question. It could be a question, a comment, a concern, whatever you would like to write in about. And you can also reach us the good old-fashioned way, email, reachingforthradio@gmail.com. Well, here's today's question, Dan. It's a pretty good one. I like this. It is, what is heaven like? What is heaven like? That's a great question, and we're going to talk about that a little bit. But I would say, coming off of what we just said about how we are called to live in the here and the now, and looking towards the future, there's a sense of that, that we're not to look towards the future, but then there's also a sense that realize that we are spiritual beings and that we have a heavenly home and to lay up our treasures in heaven. So let's think about for a little bit, what is heaven like? You know, that's a good question. When I think about heaven, I think about Revelation chapter 21, where it talks about heaven, and it's a pretty good chapter. If you want to know what heaven is like, go read Revelation chapter 21, and describes what heaven is like. But I'm going to throw it to Dan first because he just looks so ready here.
Yeah.
For understanding what heaven is like. Have you been there before?
I've not been there before, but I know someone who was, and
yeah, there
he's
you go.
My Savior. So hey. There you go.
Amen.
I think about what we just talked about, you know, dwelling on the future or the past, and when heaven is mentioned, a lot of times it is to bring present comfort. You know, when Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you," he was comforting his disciples that he had to leave and that they could not come with him. And there were times Jesus pulled himself away just for a short period of time, maybe to pray or maybe to fast or whatever it was, and he would sometimes take two or three disciples with him. But he said, this time I'm going to go away and you cannot come with me. And he said, I'm going to go to prepare a place for you. And that's when he told us a little bit about heaven, that that it will each have a mansion. And that's not necessarily a mansion in our own, vocabulary, but a place, I guess a great
dwelling
place.
Dwelling place,
yeah. Dwelling place is basically what the word means. So, Dan, you mentioned Revelation 21. And that is certainly the go-to place for finding out descriptions of heaven. But, you know, one of the things I think about when we think about what heaven is like is keeping in mind what's not going to be in heaven. You know, in heaven, there's going to be no more sin. Just that alone makes heaven a wonderful place. And that's what I tell people when I present the gospel to them. I say, you know, if we were to go to heaven, and heaven is a perfect place without sin, and God is holy, how can we go there? It wouldn't be perfect. It wouldn't be heaven anymore if you or I went there, because we're sinners. And so I tell them that Jesus died for all of our sins, and he made us able to be able to go to heaven by taking away our sins, and he's going to give us a new body and so forth. So there's not going to be any sin. Here's what my favorite part. Well, I can't say my favorite part, but one that I look forward to here in the now. That is, there is no night. There is no sleep, I guess. I guess there would be a sleep.
Sure.
You know, well, it is a place of rest, but our bodies won't
You probably won't need sleep.
I don't think I could sleep with all the light.
That's true.
I don't know. That's a good question.
We should put this, maybe we'll pause here.
Okay.
Parentheses. We don't know exactly all of what heaven is like.
Of course.
End parentheses. There we go.
Yes, there you go.
But we do have a good description in the Bible.
We do know that there's no night there.
There's no night.
And I think that's pretty cool because I don't like, going to sleep. I don't like having to,
Yeah. Hey, I just looked down at Revelation chapter 21, and in verse 4, it says several things that are not there, and I like this. Here's a good list for you. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, so there's no tears. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Hey, there's a good little list of things that aren't going to be in heaven. That's a good, no sorrow, no pain, no crying, no tears, no death. Yeah. That's exciting.
You know, just to point out where that passage of Scripture is, that is following the great white throne judgment.
Yeah.
So the reason that God is wiping away tears is because we've just witnessed millions upon millions of people being cast in the lake of fire. So that right there is a very somber moment in heaven. And then we're comforted with the fact that after that, no more tears, no more crying, no more death. And it ends right there. And so, yeah, that's a wonderful, comforting thing to realize. And then he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. I mean, just magnificent. It's just, how else can you describe what it would be like? I mean.
Well, I would say, too, we kind of have missed the central, I would say, thing, but really person of heaven.
Oh, yes, of course, yes.
That's God and Jesus.
Yeah.
And obviously, the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. But thinking about Jesus Christ there as that central, really person in heaven. And think about it, guys. We talk about here on the show about living for him, and no one here has ever seen him physically. You're going to see him with your eyes someday. Yeah. I mean, we're going to be there in his presence. That's amazing to finally be able to see him and face to face. Wow, what an experience that will be.
I think it's going to be amazing to think that he is the one who has pricked our hearts at certain points of our lives when we've done wrong, he's corrected us, or when he has spoken to us or blessed us in some way. And then we'll put a face to that voice or that moving in our hearts. It was him all along. And I think it's going to be an amazing moment to sort of pick up where you left off here on earth with the relationship with Jesus Christ, and then be able to hear his voice audibly that you heard in your heart. And I think that's going to be an amazing moment to see Christ face to face. And here's an interesting thing about a factoid about heaven, about the our eternity with God. We're given a new body, right? One that's without sin, because this body has to die because it is appointed to man once to die, and after that, the judgment. So our body is with sin. In Jesus' body, after he had died on the cross and rose again, you remember that he in his resurrected body showed his disciples the nail scars in his hands and in his feet, and there was the hollow in his side. Jesus' body is the only one in all of heaven, as we can understand, that is still marred, that is still imperfect. And that's amazing to me that he would give each of us a perfect new body without sin, and yet he himself bears the nail scars of the cross. That's amazing to me.
Yeah, that reminder of all eternity of what Jesus Christ did for us. You know what, guys? Can I say something kind of crazy? No, not one of us is going to get to heaven and just kind of what Dan just said, play off of that, and say, man, I wish I played more video games. You know? We're not going to do it. Man, I wish I spent more time on Facebook. I wish I cared more about fashion or any of that. Just think ahead for just a moment. Just pause and think. What am I going to care about when it's down to me and Jesus Christ for all of eternity? What am I going to really care about? And there's so many things that we give so much time and effort to here on earth that really are pointless in light of eternity. You know, thinking about heaven, here's a good one, Dan. I like this because we both live in New York City. Heaven's a city.
Yeah, that's true.
You ever stop and think about that?
Yeah.
Heaven's a city. It talks about it there in Revelation. We're not going to read the whole chapter here. You guys go read it, but it talks about the size of it. The city lieth four square, and the length of it is large as the breadth. So it's a square, even, talks about there. It talks about how it has the walls and it has the gates that are made out of all of these precious gems and jewels, jasper, gold, and just all these different things there. And man, so many exciting things here to talk about. As you mentioned, the city has no need of sun, neither of moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Wow, that's awesome. And there's what Dan talked about, there shall be no night there. Yeah. Heaven's going to be great.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about, you mentioned about mansions, and sometimes we think, we get in our own mindset, well, I'm going to get to heaven, I'm going to have a huge home all to myself, you know, with the big yard and fountains and all that. And that's kind of probably not exactly accurate. And so some might say, well, I want a mansion. You know what? It doesn't matter what you have in heaven. If it's a room or if it's a large dwelling, we don't know exactly how God is doing that. You will not be disappointed.
Yeah,
and it will be far better than anything you can imagine here on earth.
Oh yeah, it just to have a perfect body, because it's not
marred
by sin.
To be able to run a 5K just on the whim.
Oh man, I could run like five 5Ks, you know, and it's one day. There's no time, I guess, right? I don't know.
Yeah, well, so yeah, time is something here on earth, really.
Yeah, it's true. You think about those with disabilities or infirmities. You know, those, there's not going to be anybody in heaven with a seeing eye dog. You know, there's not going to be any blind people there. Those that were deaf will be able to hear. There's not going to be anybody in wheelchairs or hearing aids or glasses. It's just we're all going to be, and I don't know how we're going to recognize each other, but I guess we'll just know each other as we're known. We'll have, I guess, a perfect mind, or I don't know. I don't know how that works, but I guess there's a lot of unknowns with what heaven is like. We just go with what we've been told.
Yeah, go with what the Bible says. Yeah. Well, I tell you what, as I mentioned and as Dan said, you know what, we're not going to be disappointed there. And I'm excited that we're going there. But can we say, first of all, that heaven's for those that have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone. And so if you have never done that, we would love to talk with you and show you from the Word of God how you can be saved. And so write us an email and just let us know, reachingforthradio@gmail.com, and say, maybe you have some questions about that. How can you become a child of God? We'd love to talk with you about that. Heaven's going to be an awesome place, an exciting place. We're going to be with our Savior for all eternity. I'm looking forward to going there. But you know what? Going back to the beginning, hey, God has us right here, right now. So let's get ready for that day when we'll stand before Him. Let's live today thinking about that day when I'll stand before Him, and let's reach our generation with the gospel, and let's live for Him and give Him the glory in our life. If you have a question, don't forget you can reach us at 908-291-8336, or you can email us at reachingforthradio@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you this week. Excited about this week's weekly challenge. Dr. Brenneman here in the studio is going to challenge us from the Word of God, so hit us with it, Brother Brenneman.
By the way, that doctorate is pending.
Yes.
Pending a lot of work and time on my part, but anyway. I'm looking at Acts chapter 22. You know, here lately I've been doing a study on the Apostle Paul, but let me ask you guys a question before we get into what the Apostle Paul said. What if you had an opportunity to give a speech or a message to the entire world, what would you say? Maybe you've had the chance to give a book report or have something in a speech class you've had to prepare, and you always ask yourself, what am I going to say? How am I going to say it? You try to wordsmith and think and get your thesaurus out, which is, that's sort of a weird name for a book, thesaurus. Always have trouble saying the thesaurus. But anyway, you get your thesaurus out, and you look up words, and you try to, you know, make things sound so eloquent. Maybe you've had to write an essay or something like that, and you just find yourself short of words. I don't know. Some of us have had opportunities to speak in front of large groups, and that can be very nerve-wracking. I know in my high school years and from then on, I've had opportunities to perform in like an acting and a play or something like that. That's really what got myself over speaking in public. I had a sort of a fear of that, or not a fear, but sort of a wasn't comfortable with it, I guess. And so I did that. And so memorizing lines is part of that, and acting those things out. And so you have written there before you what to say. But when it's all up to you, what do you say? And so if you were given an opportunity then to stand before a great crowd, and you were just to speak, and not keeping in mind what the circumstances may be or why you're speaking in front of the crowd, but whatever it is you had to say, and whatever the reason or the occasion or the place you had to speak, whatever it was, what would be the thrust of your message? Well, let me come here to Acts chapter 22, and I'll give you an example of the Apostle Paul. To give you a little bit of background, you may know the Apostle Paul was a great speaker. He was recognized in Athens as being, they mistook him for the god Jupiter, which was, I guess, the Roman equivalent of the Greek god Zeus, as a great orator, and so they understood that he had the ability to command a crowd and be able to speak in front of them. He had a lot of experience in speaking, and so that's one thing that comes along with public speaking, is the experience and the comfortableness you have to speak in front of people, and that just comes with, you know, just the experience and just the ability to do that. But the Apostle Paul had all of that under his belt. And as he went from place to place in his travels, he would speak for weeks at a time in front of different crowds and so forth. He was a very educated man. He spoke multiple languages, and he knew the law, being a Pharisee himself before he was saved. So he was a very experienced person, a very educated person, a very eloquent person. So as we come here to Acts chapter 22, he has just ended his third missionary journey. And he has been warned over and over again that if he goes to Jerusalem, he will be imprisoned. And he knows this, and he's been warned of God. And I think it's not because he's trying to disobey God to not go to Jerusalem, but just saying that when you go there, hey, you're going to suffer some persecution. And Paul was willing to lay down his life for just going back to Jerusalem. When he goes back to Jerusalem, he's going to speak in front of this crowd of people that's gathered there for the Pentecost, which is a feast day in Jerusalem. And a lot of people from all over the world, all the Jews from all over the world, have come here for this feast day. And as he comes here, he's going to speak in front of the crowd that he has spoken to in times before. And this is the crowd that he was once a part of, being a Pharisee, a member of the Sanhedrin. And this is also the crowd that he was amongst when he gave the authority of the permission to stone Stephen. And all through the apostles' journeys, when you do read about him preaching or read his sermon that's been preserved for us in the Word of God, it almost mirrors Stephen's message to whom he stoned back in Acts chapter 7. So when we get here back to Jerusalem, I'm sure Stephen is on his mind because he even mentions him. And when we get here, he commands the crowd. And what do you think the Apostle Paul would say in all of his experience, and all of his great education, and his eloquency? What would he be able to say? I'll read you a few verses here in Acts chapter 22, and we'll cut it off just to sum up what he's going to be talking about. He says, "Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense." This is in front of a great crowd that was trying to put him to death. Some people in the crowd didn't even know why he was being beaten or being put to death, because they were just part of this grand mob. One of the Roman guards thought he was some troublemaker Egyptian that had a band of murderers with him. But anyway, he says, "Hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence. And he saith, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as you all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, as also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus, to bring them which were bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. And it came to pass that as I made my journey, and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone round from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell unto the ground, and I heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light, and they were afraid, that they heard not the voice of him that spake unto me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise, and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. Now I'm going to stop right here, because he goes on to preach this message, but understand what he is giving here. The Apostle Paul, in front of this great crowd here gathered at this great feast of Pentecost, in all of his experience and eloquency and education and so forth, he gives a message that is simply his personal testimony. And that is one of the most important things, one of the most important messages that you can deliver to anyone else. What has Jesus done for you? So no matter what you do in your speech writing, your essays, your research papers, and so forth out there, have you written down, have you at least rehearsed giving your personal testimony? How did you come about receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? You know, that is the most important message. No matter what your circumstances, no matter where you are and who you're with, can you work in what Jesus has done for you in a conversation? Do your friends know that you're a Christian? And do they know how you became a Christian? Not that you were just born in this religion, or that your parents were Christians, but that you made a conscious decision to place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That it wasn't just something that you were born into, that you were raised or trained or brainwashed into, but it is something that you became a born-again Christian, where you entered into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And from that point, you have had fellowship with him. You have prayed to him. You have heard from him from the scriptures, from the preaching. You've been faithful to going to his house on Sunday morning. Is that a part of your testimony? And do people know that? Let me tell you, that is the most important message. And that's from the example of the Apostle Paul, the great man that he was, just wanted people to know, hey, Jesus saved me, and he can save you too. And that is a simple message. As the Apostle Paul said, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. I hope that you can give your testimony to someone this week. If you had never given your testimony, rehearse it, go over it. You should be able to give your testimony within a couple of minutes, within a minute, within 30 seconds, different time lengths so that it can fit into the occasion which you have the opportunity to give your testimony. So go over it, rehearse it, and share it with someone this week.
That's great. Thanks for that challenge, Dan. I hope that today's show has been an encouragement to you guys as you listen. And tying it all together, think about it. Hey, as you drive today down the street, as you walk down the sidewalk, as you go throughout your day, remember that God has placed you here right now in this generation for God's glory, for God to get the glory through it. And as you go through that, look for opportunities to share your testimony. Look for opportunities to speak up for Christ. Because going back to the question, hey, one day you're going to stand before him if you're his child in heaven. And man, what to stand there and to think that I didn't do what I should have done for Christ would be a sad thing. And so what an exciting thing to think that we're going to go to heaven someday and spend eternity with him. So let's live today for his glory so that when we get there, we don't have to be ashamed about standing before him. Don't forget, if you have a question or a comment or a challenge or a shout out, anything that you'd like us to know about, you can call us at 908-291-8336. You can call or text that number. We'd love to get a message from you. You can get in touch with us at reachingforthradio@gmail.com. That's reachingforthradio@gmail.com. Don't forget the podcast form. The show comes out every Tuesday morning, and so you can subscribe in iTunes, and they also are posted over at SoundCloud. To keep up with us, you can find more about us, about the Reaching Forth rallies, and about Reaching Forth Radio over at www.reachingforth.net. That's reachingforth.net. And you can find us on Facebook. Go and search for Reaching Forth Rally and Radio and like it. And stay in touch with the Reaching Forth family there as well. If you're keeping track, this is episode number 5. Thanks for listening. We'd love to hear feedback from you this week. And don't forget, hey, the most important thing in all the world is your relationship with Jesus Christ. So keep living for him.